Hey, it's Coach B here again, and I'm talking to you from Haven Gym right here in Elizabeth, and we've got another wonderful question, and it's what's the hardest part of getting fit? Now, we can tackle this from the perspective of gym intimidation, right? Some people, a lot of clients of ours, they feel intimidated and feel uncomfortable of going into the gym, so perhaps that might be the hardest part to them. Another hard part would be getting into a calorie deficit or staying in one or exiting out of a calorie deficit. Another one might be knowing what to do with our workouts. What kind of training program should we stick with? What kind of training program should we modify after we've seen a certain amount of results? There's a million different ways that we can skin this cat, as the very rough saying goes. But I think that, in my opinion, as a coach who's been in this for close to a decade now, helping people transform their fitnesses and therefore their lives along the way, I would say that the number one thing that holds people back from them achieving their goals is their mindset. I think mindset, more specifically a shitty mindset, is one that's riddled with false limiting self-beliefs that, or false limiting beliefs about the world, specifically the gym world, that even though we might have the best training program or we might have the best diet plan, we could have the best at-home chef cooking us the world's best meals, whole food meals. But if we don't actually get out of our own way because of all the silly, stupid, aggressive things that we tell ourselves, then it's not going to matter. General Patton from World War II, part of the Allied forces in America, he had a quote, and I'm going to share it with you. And it goes, "A good plan violently executed now is better than a perfect plan executed next week." And I'm going to add this in parentheses, or never. And the reason why I bring that up is because, again, to further drive the point home, that you can have the best training program and, say, nutrition plan on the planet, but if you continually get in the way of yourself, you will not see the results that you want. I think a close second that comes after that is probably false advertising, the kind of marketing and salesmanship that at times can be unethical because a coach is trying to line their own pockets, and as a result, they feed you with, say, things that aren't true, things that sound great, things that are shiny, especially when we're scrolling on TikTok or through Instagram Reels, but when we put them to the pavement and we try to execute on them, they actually don't get us any results. The purpose of this video is going to be talking about a limiting mindset and, like I said, a shitty mindset, because although I do think false advertising comes in as a close second, I don't think that it's as harmful as ourselves, who, as the other saying goes, who can be our own worst enemies, right? So that being said, let's now get into the couple of limiting beliefs that I think are the ones that are keeping most of us from seeing the results that we want. And the first one would be, well, let's consider this right before we get into the beliefs, actually. Let's consider that the power of beliefs in and of themselves. There is a vein running through 3,000 years of human history, all through Jesus Christ, through the philosophers, Epictetus of the ancient world, into the Old Testament, and through Buddha, and through Confucius. And it's this idea that, well, two different ideas, which are pretty much the same, the different sides of the same coin. And one is that two people can react very differently to the same struggle in front of them. And on the other side of the coin, the other face of the coin, that it is not things that limit us or things that impede us or things that ruin us. Rather, it's our view of them that can destroy us or can destroy what we want to get out of this life that we have. And that was something said by Epictetus about 2,000 years ago. And what he meant to say was that, to give you a more grounded example, you have guy A and guy B. Guy A goes to his regular big box gym, and he is full of doubts. He doesn't know what to do with the equipment. He doesn't know if the workout program he got online for $39.99 is actually going to be effective. He doesn't know if some article he read on Arnold Schwarzenegger's blog is going to be something that's going to help him get his results. He spends an hour, meanders a bit, and feels lost. And he finds himself at the end of that workout that he was able to eke out, he finds himself saying something along the lines of, man, I've got a lot to learn. You know, it's going to be tough because there's a lot of different things that I don't know. I don't know how to do the squats. I don't know how to use the treadmills. I'm not even sure what I got to eat at home. But I did something today. And I think that's something, if it doesn't get me the best results, it at least is going to get me moving along the path so that I can find the results that I want, either through better educating myself or through more research or through more practice and better skill acquisition. So you know what? Today wasn't such a shitty day. Today, it wasn't the best day. It was a difficult day. And tomorrow's probably going to be another difficult day, especially since it's leg day. But I'll find a way and I can do it. That's guys A. Right, guy A's mindset and his set of beliefs. Guy B, on the other hand, he finds himself at the end of the workout, if he manages to muster up the energy to get through the whole workout, or say maybe he stops right in the middle of it and leaves, and as he's walking to the parking lot and, you know, opening his car door and sitting down, he's telling himself, man, I don't know what the hell I was doing. I know people were looking at me funny. I'm not sure if I wasted my time. I probably did waste my time, and I suck. I'm never gonna do that again. Fuck it. We can see how the same exact struggle, right? The struggle of not knowing what to do in the gym and being, well, surrounded by a completely unknown world. What that could do to us, right? In the sense of instilling doubt in us. But what these two individuals, what guy A and guy B are differing on is the way that they view this adversity, the way that they see this obstacle of not knowing what to do in this new world that they find themselves, which is the gym, right? And on the one hand, we have a guy who has a self-empowering belief, one that says, you know what? The truth is this is going to be difficult. This is going to be hard, but I can find a way. And another guy who is basically just shooting himself in the foot and is damning himself because of the way that he's thinking. And the way that he's thinking, that springs into the way that he's going to feel, which is probably going to feel massive amounts of humiliation and rage, and translating into later improper behavior that isn't going to get us what we want, such as procrastination, avoidance, and possibly the use of substances or activities that are going to distract us in an unhealthy way, such as overeating, alcohol use, drug use, or things of that nature, or even just video games or something as more mild as just avoiding the gym, right? Anyways, the whole point is we're using that guy A and guy B facing an unknown world of the gym as an example of how two different people can react very differently to the same struggle. And now what I want to do is I want to go into what I think are the two most harming negative self-beliefs that can stop us from seeing results in the gym. And those are, number one, I suck, and all of its different variations. Number two, it's too damn hard, and all of its variations, right? So let's go into I suck. And we're going to use a cool tool, what I like to call the tool of three. And I get this tool of three from CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, and more specifically REBT, which is the father strand of cognitive behavioral therapy that led to modern day CBT. And it's asking ourselves this. Number one, whenever we're faced with a belief that we think is harmful to us, it's number one, is it true? Number two, does it make sense? Does it follow? And number three, does it help me? So let's take a look at this belief right here, this false belief. Damn, I'm not sure if I can do this. I've always been the fat guy, fat girl, fat kid. Maybe I'm just kidding myself. I knew this wouldn't work. Now let's break that down, starting off with the first prong in the tool of three. Number one, is it true? Well, to say that I've always been the fat kid. Well, what do we mean by that? Let's be a little bit more precise. Do you mean that you have only just been the fat kid all of your life? You might answer, well, no, I haven't just been the fat kid. I'm other things, you know. I'm just one of the things is just that I'm overweight, I'm fat, right? But that doesn't define me. Okay, fair enough. So let's keep going along that line. So you saying that you're the fat kid, that's not true to the facts because you're a human being. And you're much more complex than, say, what the number on the scale says. And we can agree here, correct, that you are not the number on the scale. And even if you were overweight, we can also agree that it doesn't follow, it doesn't make sense to say I'm 200 pounds, therefore I suck. That doesn't make any sense at all. I'm blending in the first two tools of the tool of three, but the whole point that I'm trying to say here is that in the first aspect, it's not true. You're not the fat kid, and you've not always have been the fat kid. Fatness is just an attribute of yours, and maybe you don't like it, but to judge yourself as a human being, to say that because you are a fat kid, you are a bad kid, it's not true. And what the facts are is that you're just a guy. You're just a girl. You're just a person, a human being, who has some fat on them and is overweight and doesn't like it. But you're not a bad guy or a bad girl. You're a person. You're a human being, and you're much more complex, and we can't judge you because the scale says something that you just don't like, right? So that's the first tool, asking ourselves whether or not it's true. The second tool, does it make sense? Does it follow? Well, I've always been the fat kid, fat girl, fat guy. Maybe I'm just kidding myself. I knew this wouldn't work. Well, number one, we just saw that's not true. You know, we can't reduce you and, you know, oversimplify you into a bad person because you see a number on the scale that you don't like. Well, does it follow then? Does it make sense that because you have been a fat guy, quote unquote, for the past 20, 30, 40 years, that means that you're always going to be that way? Well, I mean, you might answer, I mean, if I've always been that way, then wouldn't it be extremely hard to say that I'm going to be able to lose the weight? Well, perhaps it might be hard for you, but doesn't mean that it's impossible. Hard and impossible are two different things, number one. And number two, oh, but because I was fat, that means I'm always going to be fat. No, that's not true. Let's put you to starve for 30 days. You'll lose weight. You won't be fat anymore. I'm not saying we should starve you. I'm not saying it's sustainable. But what I'm trying to say here is that it doesn't follow. It doesn't make any sense that just because you were something in your path that you can in your past that you can't be something different in the future. How many people have been fat their whole lives and they lost it? So it doesn't make sense when you say that, right? Let's go on to tool number three, the tool of three. And that's, does it help me? How does it help you? How is it going to assist you and empower you if you tell yourself and damn yourself that I have always been the fat kid and that means I'm always just going to remain the fat kid? It doesn't. It doesn't help you at all. Maybe it helps you with your self-pitying. Maybe it helps you with your self-victimization. But it's not going to get you what you want, which is better health, more confidence, more comfort in your own skin, right? If those are the things that you do value and things that you do want, right? Which I can assume that they are because you're watching this video or listening to this podcast. But the whole point is that when we look at this statement of, damn, I'm not sure if I can do this. I've always been the fat guy, fat girl, fat kid. Maybe I'm just kidding myself. I knew this wouldn't work. When we look at that and we deconstruct it and we ask ourselves, is it true? It's not. Number two, does it follow? Does it make sense logically? No, it doesn't. Number three, does it help me? No, it doesn't. Then we can break that down. And by breaking that down, we can replace that with something more empowering, something that's more true to the facts, something that does follow, and into a statement that looks like this. You know what? I've been fat for a really damn long time. I don't like, and that's the truth. Number two, I also don't like it. That's the truth as well. Number three, just because I've been fat, well, you know what? That doesn't mean that I'm always going to be fat. People have done it, and that means I can do it. People with much more busier schedules, with one leg, with much more difficult circumstances, they've been able to go ahead and do this. With even worse genetics, with the worst genetics on the planet, people who have been 300, 400 have lost weight, and they have lost their weight, and I'm looking to lose only 30. Does it make sense that I'm not going to be able to lose it? No, not at all. So it doesn't make sense. And number three, well, I would much rather help myself than harm myself. So you know what? I am going to tell myself that even though I have been fat, because I don't like it and because I really don't fucking like it, I'm going to make a change. And it's going to take some time and it's going to be difficult, but I'm going to be able to do this some way, somehow. That is a much more self-empowering, true-to-the-facts, logical belief that is going to free you into getting the results that you want. Because remember, if you're holding the other idea in your head when you're sitting in that gym on that flat bench press or that machine that you have no clue how to use, and you feel intimidated and you feel doubtful and you feel uncertain, then guess what? You have a choice right then and there. You're at the crossing of two paths, one that's going to get you to your hell, one that's going to get you to your heaven. And one is going to lead you along the lines of lies, of things that don't make sense, and things that are just going to hurt you. And then the other choice you can make is things that are true, things that are rational, things that do make sense, and things that will go ahead and help you. This is a process that in cognitive behavioral therapy is called cognitive restructuring. In self-development books of the past century, like Norman Vincent Peale, The Power of Positive Thinking, it's called the breaking of false beliefs. In philosophy, it's called the Socratic method, dating all the way back to Plato's Dialogues of Socrates. And this is a very old idea that we have a choice about how we choose to think about the events that we face and how we choose to face them based off of the way that we think about them. And what I would suggest you to consider is look into an unconditional self-acceptance from REBT, created by Albert Ellis. This goes deeper into accepting ourselves and not judging ourselves for having the weight that we don't like, for having fallen back, or for having gained back some of the weight that we lost, rather than judging ourselves for certain qualities or certain traits or certain characteristics, which is one of the dangers of self-esteem and the whole self-esteem movement. But anyways, the whole point is that that's one of the main beliefs, false limiting beliefs, that can stop us from getting to where we want to get to. And so now that we just deconstructed that, let's go ahead and go into the second main belief, which doesn't necessarily have to do about ourselves, but has to do more with the conditions of the world and the way that we see the world. And the next one is, it's too damn hard, quote unquote, it is too damn hard. Well, let's use the tool of three to ask ourselves, is it true? Well, first, let's be precise with our language. What do we mean by it's too damn hard? Coach, we mean it's just too damn hard. Do you mean to say that you can't do it? I guess. No, that's not true. Because number one, you're in the gym and you're doing it, and you did a couple of reps. Maybe they weren't the best, but you did it. And so, no, it is not true that you can't do it. Number two, again, plenty of other people have been able to do it. People in much worse circumstances and with much more grave handicaps, and they've been able to do it. So, no, it's not too hard, right? It's just very difficult. And I agree with you there. It is going to require some sacrifices, but it's not too hard. It's not impossible. Difficult and impossible are two very different things. I guess so, coach. You know, okay, now let's use tool number two. Does it follow? Does it make sense that just because something is difficult means that we can't or we shouldn't do it? Long pause here. No. Raising kids, building a business, going to school, getting your bachelor's degree, getting your master's, starting your career, moving jobs, paying your bills, taking care of yourself, all these different things are difficult, but we still do them because they are worth it. And so it doesn't follow that just because something is difficult means that we can't or we shouldn't do it. That makes no sense at all. It just means that it's difficult. And we have to ask ourselves whether or not it's worth us undertaking the sacrifice of resources such as time, energy, and money for us to see the results that we want. And if it is, because you're watching this video or listening to this podcast and you're telling yourself, hey, it is worth it to me to lose the 100 pounds. It is worth it to me to feel comfortable and confident again. It is worth it to me not to become diabetic. It is worth it to me to get off of these blood pressure medication. Then I'm going to do it no matter how hard it is. And that slides into the next tool of the tool of three, which is, does it help you? Well, how does it help you to tell yourself that because it's too hard, you're not going to do it? It doesn't help you at all. It only harms you and it only hurts you. But if you replace it instead with, you know what? I can do it because it's worth it to me. Like I just said a couple of minutes ago or a couple seconds ago, then that is going to help you. That is more self-empowering. That is more true to the facts. And that makes sense. Now, I hope that the past couple of minutes that I've been able to share with you, what I think is the most difficult aspect about getting fit, this whole fitness thing, is our mindset. I hope that that's persuaded you to, well, watch the way that you talk to yourself. Because, well, again, to quote Patton, General Patton, a good plan violently executed now is better than a perfect plan executed next week, or I'm adding, or never. And you can be running around in circles, spending all this money, wasting all this time and energy, hopping from this best program to that best program, telling yourself I can't do it, and then getting back into it months later, and then telling yourself that you suck. You can overcome all those things. I wouldn't say that you can avoid all those things, because life is difficult and you will make your mistakes, but you can overcome them. And you can overcome them by watching and moderating and taking control and responsibility over what goes on here in your brain in between your 2 ears. And if you can find yourself sitting on that flat bench, walking on that treadmill, lost and confused and frustrated, and instead of you telling yourself something that is false, a lie, something that doesn't make sense, and something that is just going to harm you and hurt you, and instead you can adopt something that's self-empowering, something that's true to the facts, and something that does make sense. Something like, you know what? I have been fat. I am fat, and I don't like it, but I am not defined by my fatness. And God damn it, because I don't like it so much, I'm gonna make a change. Even if it's difficult, even if it's very difficult, I'm going to commit to make this change, and I'll pick myself back up when I fall down inevitably like any other human being on this planet, because I am human. That is gonna help you. And then from there, concern yourself with how do I get into my deficit? How do I do progressive overload? But if you're the guy or the gal who's going ahead and thinking about fine-tuning their macros when you don't even stick to them because you speak to yourself so horribly, if you're the guy or the girl trying to hopping from workout program, from coach to coach, and avoiding the lack of resilience that you need to develop in between your ears, which says this is difficult, I just need to commit and I need to go through the boredom and the difficulty and the obstacles in my way, and I can't keep hopping from solution to solution to solution expecting better results, then it's not going to work for you, right? But get your head straight. Talk to yourself. Take responsibility about the way that you speak to yourself. And as you do so, acquire the right tools, the right education. Hire it out. Get a good coach. The coach doesn't work, get a different coach, a better coach. Put yourself in a better position by speaking to yourself in a more truthful, a more logical, and a more self-empowering way. I hope I did a good job at explaining why I think that mindset is so key and why I think it becomes so important, much more important than searching for all sorts of different tools, tricks, tips, and hacks when it comes to losing weight or building muscle. And I hope that you find yourself in a better position because of the advice that I'm giving. And if you would like to outsource this self-talk, right, and you would like to have someone to help you walk through what are the better ways to speak to yourself along your fitness journey so that you can see your results, well, you could do it by your own. Part of the reason why I'm making these videos, so you can help yourself out. But if you need some help, right, then call us. Call us at, and in this video, in this podcast, I now know what our business phone number is because I have it right here on the screen, so I won't forget. Call us at 908-341-0232 or text us, Transformation, and we'll schedule a free no-sweat intro consultation to see which one of our transformation programs is best for you. Now, I hope you have a great rest of your day. I hope this was helpful and impactful, and I hope this it reaches you well and it does something good for you in your life and the people that you love around you. So take care.